host President Mahama this morning as part of activities commemorating International Youth Day. Four GBC stars among 31 journalists to be honored at 20th GJA Awards. Striking doctors of GME to hold General Assembly on Friday to decide on threat to resign en masse. Employment and Labour Relations Minister appeals to striking doctors to return to work or risk forfeiting salaries. An explosion at crowded market in Nigeria's Borno State kills 47. The news in detail. Unique FM, the head of state and Duke of Edinburgh Best Media Organization, will today host President John Mahama on its morning show between 9 and 10:30 a.m. The interactive section will also be live on all Radio Ghana's regional FM stations. The session is in commemoration of International Youth Day, which recognizes the critical role of young people in society. President Mahama will be speaking on government's efforts towards engaging young people in the development of the country, as well as other government initiatives in furtherance of the agenda for transformation.
The Tema Port expansion project will begin before the end of the year. President John Mahama announced this when the new ambassador of Denmark presented his letter of credence at Flagstaff House in Accra. The Tema Port expansion project is being done with funding from the Danish government. Six other envoys also presented their letters of credence. Pascaline Adadevo reports.
There were seven envoys in all. Mrs. Maria Aguirre from Mexico, Ms. Tovi Degenbol, Denmark, Emmanuel Zismel from Israel, Joseph Nobis from Seychelles. The rest are Harry Pimanto from Indonesia, Daniel Injule, Tanzania, and Professor Dr. Jovan Marie from Serbia. Upon receiving the credential of Denmark's Tove Degenbol, President Mahama acknowledged the multi-budget donor support Ghana receives from that country. He was also grateful for Denmark's assistance during the outbreak of Ebola in some West Africa countries. One major project being supported by the Danish government is the Tema Port expansion. It is the first of its kind since the port was constructed in 1962. The construction works include a railway terminal to handle the transportation of containers by rail to and from the port. The Accra-Tema motorway would also be upgraded to a six-lane to enhance transportation to the port.
Coming back to Ghana, we've been working on some important projects with your predecessor, and it's my hope that we'll have the opportunity to continue those projects. One has been the closure of what we famously called the Lavender Hill in Accra. It is our intention to close that hill down and make sure that the general environment of the area is more pleasant than it has been. But aside from that, Denmark is participating in one of the biggest direct investments in respect of the expansion of Tema Port. And so we're looking to see the implementation of that project, and we're hoping that by the end of this year we can break ground for the project to start.
Next was Mexico, which is reopening its embassy after it was closed down in the 1980s. Emmanuel Mel is from Israel. Ghana was the first country in sub-Saharan Africa to establish diplomatic relations with the State of Israel. Recently, a Ghana-Israel Chamber of Commerce was formed to increase trade and investment. A memorandum of understanding in agric cooperation has also been signed as Israel has comparative advantage in agriculture. President Obama congratulated Israel for its successful elections on the resolution of the conflict in the Middle East. He said Ghana believes in a two-party state process. Messrs. Joseph Norris and Daniel Injule from Seychelles and Tanzania presented their credentials as they begin their duty tours. Ghana looks forward to establishing trade relations with the two nations with its interaction with Harry Pewanto from Indonesia. President Mahama hinted that there is a proposed MOU for a permanent joint cooperation between Ghana and Indonesia to boost bilateral cooperation. The last pair honors of presenting his letter of credence was Professor Dr. Joran Maric from Serbia. Ambassador is a psychiatrist by profession. President Mahama said the country is considering reopening its embassy in Serbia. Professor Maric's sense of humor sends the president laughing out loud during their brief interaction. Professor coincidentally presents his credentials on his day.
Rebecca Ekpe, Nadpo Ite, Abdul Hai Mumen, Rebecca Lua, and Dayela Ite, all of GBT, are among 31 journalists who will be honored at the 20th GJ Awards ceremony on Saturday. Others are Mabel Akuban of Graphics Communications Group, Seth Kwame Boateng of Joy FM, of TV3, and Jamila Okechiri of Daily Guide. The GJ Awards is the flagship program of the association, and its president, Roland Afomoni, has been speaking ahead of the ceremony.
It's our flagship event, and the expectations are that we will not lower expectations, we will never lower the standards, because every human being has a sense of achievement. So the GJ Awards are the pinnacle of professional achievement. So we expect journalists who have been nominated as winners to not only feel proud, but they also be motivated to scale up their performances in all dimensions of the profession. We are expecting the president to greet the occasion. All indications are that he'll be there, because he's a member of our profession, but he's a member in good standing. A few months ago, he paid all his arrears. So we are proud that he's not only a member, but also a member in good standing. Yeah. And we are also expecting the chairman of the Peace Council to also be a chairperson. Our special guest is energy expert Kukwa Wachi. He used to be with VRA. He's now with the Africa Power Systems, based both in Accra and the US. So everything points to a very good celebration, because the nature of our job is that we don't have time to socialize. We are always under pressure. Our working environment is brusque. Our deadlines are relentless. And in the midst of all this, we are expected to deliver peak performance. So the event will create a platform not only to celebrate excellence in journalism, but also to have fun with the excellence of the president.
I see some familiar names over here that I've seen in other awards previously. We have Mabel Akubanase from the Daily Graphic. We have Moses Akloboton, also from the Daily Graphic. We have David Andor from My Joy Online, and many more. Kafui Kanyi of GNA, and Daniel Nano, Ghanaian Chronicle. I want to ask you, what actually went into the selection of these winners?
We look at stories with social impact. It's not only about finding any story. In fact, some of the stories did not meet the standards set for selection as award winners. And we look at the social impact of their story. We also look at the quality of language. The difference between an ordinary journalist and a good journalist is the ability to craft the language. So we look at the ability to craft the language. If you have a good story which is littered with mistakes or grammatical mistakes, other small momenta, that story, irrespective of the fact that it's good, will not and will never stand a chance of winning. So we also look at the use of language. We also look at balance. We also look at the background in research, the SMI you go to put the story in the right context. And we also look at relevance. So these are basically the criteria we look at in selecting.
When you say relevance, you're talking about how relevant the story is.
How relevant the story is. Some stories are inconsequential, to say the very least, which have no relevance whatsoever. It could be written in the best of language. You display all your literary embroidery or linguistic mastery in the story. But the question which will continue to be, how relevant is this story to our circumstance, to our economic upstream, to future circumstances and all that? So relevance is also very important.
Mr. Romani, let me take the lead of the pan. Are we going to see an overall winner?
I'm inclined to believe that, yes, an overall winner will emerge, because previous events had been enveloped in controversy. But I believe this one will spare the controversy. But these awards are not alien to controversies. But I can assure you that this one will be spared the controversies which characterized previous events.
GJ President Roland Afomoni.
The Executive Secretary of the National Service Scheme, Dr. Michael Pesa-White, has described as unfortunate some organizations reject national service personnel. He says such actions by these institutions undermine the authority of the scheme. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Dr. White justified the deployment of service personnel to direct traffic.
The protests have begun coming up since the middle of June, and I believe that we are in the very last phases now. We do know that the service personnel across the country are reporting in the various regional offices to begin their registration processes. And as we have indicated, this year, unlike previous years, if you are a service personnel posted and you fail to start your service in September, then we will as well take it that you have deferred your service to do it next year or in some other year to come. What it means is that we are not going to allow the station where service personnel choose to start their service in November, December, January, February, as it were. We want to make sure that the provision in the Act that says service starts in September and ends in August is strictly adhered to.
Even when there are valid reasons why a person might not start in September.
I believe the early posting resolves any issue that in previous years they have been classified as valid reason. Previous years the argument has been that people were posted late, they hadn't prepared enough, they couldn't go to the place to find an accommodation and so on and so forth. This year we've posted personnel in June. And so June, July, August, September is significant enough time to know your user agents, know your community, meet with the community leaders, connect with Peter School, the headmaster, and then assemblymen, the MPs and the chiefs and the religious leaders, and let them help mobilize accommodation for you, and then eventually report in September when service officially begins.
Doc, tell us about the Urban Traffic Management Module. What is it all about?
Well, I think that as government makes a lot of efforts to improve upon the life of Ghanaians, as the policies and programs of the government changing the lives of Ghanaians in many ways and transforming the society or transforming our country, those processes themselves come with a lot of challenges. Recall that in the last several years, governments have made efforts to improve our urban road situation. Some moved from a single lane to dual lane, some to triple lane. Yet we have seen an increased number of vehicles on our streets. That in itself has resulted in vehicular congestion in many ways, especially in Accra, Kumasi, Takoradi, and some of the major regional capitals. And so the recognition that development in itself comes with its own challenges, and those challenges must be confronted head on, is one of the fundamental objectives that is at the foreground of the introduction of this particular model. This model is intended to expose young people coming up out of our tertiary institutions to some of the areas where the state needs the help of young people. And we are very, very grateful that the 1,000 young people who have been posted, most of them have reported.
And Doc, what has been done on the issue of some institutions rejecting service personnel? Has it come to your notice?
Yes, it has come to our notice. And it is unfortunate. This is arising out of some institutions claiming that they have chosen specific service personnel for us to post to them. And we have not done that. I think at the moment the scheme allows this phenomena of institutions picking and choosing who they want and who they don't want, that very moment the scheme will begin to lose its essence and perhaps begin to even outsource its core mandate or its core function.
That was the acting executive secretary of the National Service Scheme, Dr. Michael Pesahite.
Striking doctors of the Ghana Medical Association will be holding a general assembly on Friday to decide on whether to resign en masse or not. The doctors at public health institutions have abandoned the wards and withdrawn from all emergency services over their conditions of service. A statement signed by leading members, Dr. Pavno Pukwedose and Dr. Frank Serebwo, at the end of the fourth National Executive Council meeting of the Ghana Medical Association in Kopodia, that the council is mindful of the various developments, including appeals by various groups in the country, and has therefore decided that an extraordinary general assembly be held to review the situation. We bring you the details.
According to the GMA, it submitted its proposal to a government joint negotiation team made up of its members and government. It says the ground rules for the committee were signed between the parties on the 28th of June 2015. And in response to the progress made, the GMA called for an extraordinary general meeting to review its deadline to the 29th of July to give room for negotiations to continue. As part of the rules, both parties were prohibited from making public any document from the negotiating table. It was against this background that it submitted its proposals to government. But throughout the process of negotiations, the association claims government position kept on changing from time to time. It therefore had no option than to roll out the roadmap on the 29th of July 2015, when no conditions of service document had been negotiated and signed, as was demanded by the General Assembly of the GMA. It says when the roadmap eventually came into force, the government resorted to propaganda with the aim of sowing public opinion against the doctors, despite the fact that it was the government that had not shown good faith at the negotiating table and went to the extent of leaking to the press proposal that the GMA had put before it at the negotiation table in clear violation of the ground rules that were signed between the parties. Subsequently, it claimed several altered documents were also released into the public domain to make it appear as if government was making concessions, but it was the GMA that was being recalcitrant. The development, according to the association, worsened when government put forward a take-it-or-leave-it proposal to it, which contained worse proposals compared to government's previous position. It says it then became clear to the association that government had taken an entrenched position and was not ready to find solutions to the impasse. But it says it nevertheless engaged the Ghana Health Service Council and on two occasions had meetings with the Parliamentary Senate Committee on Health with the aim of making progress with the negotiations. Despite the efforts, it says government continues to complicate the situation by misrepresenting the facts, a situation that GMA says emboldens it to press home its legitimate demands. However, the association says its National Executive Council, mindful of the various developments, including appeals by various groups in the country, has taken the decision that an extraordinary General Assembly meeting be held on Friday, 14th August 2015, to review the situation. In the light of this, the GMA calls on all its members to remain calm and steadfast in these turbulent times. It, however, condemns in no uncertain terms the recent phenomenon where heads of training institutions at the least provocation threaten and or release house officers to the Medical and Dental Council for reposting. It says the act amounts to intimidation and an infringement on the rights of house officers to participate in trade union activities, a right which is enshrined in the Labour Act 651. It admonishes heads of all health facilities to stop the practice with immediate effect. The association reminds its members that the current action, however difficult, is aimed at finding long-term solutions towards labour relations and improve efficiency and quality care in the health sector.
That was the news desk report. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations has reminded all public sector workers of the provisions of the Labour Act 2003, Act 651, which among other things states that a worker on strike may forfeit his or her remuneration in respect of the period during which the one is engaged in the illegal strike. In this vein, a statement signed by the sector minister, Haruna Idrisu, directs all heads of government establishments where workers have embarked on illegal, partial or full strike to compile and submit to their ministers of state the list of workers who have been absenting themselves from work as a result of a strike or protest. The compiled lists are to be submitted to the Ministry of Finance on or before Friday for necessary action. Government again reiterates its appeal to public sector workers presently on strike to call off their action and return to work while negotiations continue in good faith. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Unique FM to host President Mahama this morning as part of activities commemorating International Youth Day. 5 GBT stars among 31 journalists to be honored at 20th GJA Awards. Striking doctors of GMA to hold General Assembly on Friday to decide on threat to resign en masse. Employment and Labour Relations Minister appeals to striking doctors to return to work or risk forfeiting salaries. An explosion at crowded market in Nigeria's Borno State kills 47. Do stay tuned.
The news continue. Today is being observed globally as International Youth Day. It has been observed under the theme Youth Civic Engagement. While citizens know the role of government towards them, the perception is that most people, especially the youth, do not render their responsibilities to the state. The director of UNFPA Ghana, Babatunde Ahonsi, however, gives an opinion.
For a number of reasons, globally, we all realize that this is the first time in the history of the world that we have not just a large number of young people in the world as a whole, but proportionately the largest proportion of the population that is within the age bracket of 10 to 24. We are never going to see, again, given current fertility trends and mortality trends, we're never going to see a world again in which we have 1.8 billion adolescents.
Talking about how many years? If you're not going to see such a huge population, from what time to what time?
From now on, because many countries are witnessing, including in the fastest growing part of the world, which is Africa and South Asia, many countries are beginning to witness fertility decline. We are never going to have such a large number of young people. And they represent an asset. So there is no way the world can, you know, actualize its ambitious aspirations for health, security, employment, safety of the current and future generations if we don't fully maximize the assets that this
land and opinion of the youth of
produce for the world.
Babatunde Ahunsi maintains that without youth engagement, churches and mosques will fail to develop.
They are volunteering and nobody is paying them. It is true that there are many things that distract young people today that occupy them, and there are many reasons why a few of them might be discouraged. But I still see enough volunteerism, a sufficiently strong spirit of volunteerism in our young people in Ghana. The thing is, we have to, you know, tweak a bit how we engage them, and they will provide it. You don't need to mobilize the young Ghanaians today to support Ghana when Ghana is playing football.
A journalist, Kwasi Baini, also holds a different opinion of the youth of today in volunteerism. He said almost all secondary schools in the 1970s had voluntary camps. He cited a project that was completed through volunteerism.
The Dohonya Irrigation Canal, that was built by the NRC Group SMC. The labor that went there were voluntary students from second cycle institutions through the third cycle institutions. I must also say that even the TUC itself also organized its members to offer voluntary services in the construction of the Dohonya Irrigation Canal. What do we see today? You can't organize any young people to do anything for the state for free because the state has failed them.
Mr. Baine said government has not redirected the energies of the youth's productive ventures for themselves in the state. He said until this is done, they will not be interested in voluntarism or civic engagement.
The state has objected to a bail application by the alleged murderer of the Upper East Regional Chairman of the NPP. The chairman died from acid attack last May. The accused person, Gregory Afoku, filed for bail at the Human Rights Court in Accra, and the ruling is expected next Tuesday. The prosecutor, Matthew Amponsa, told the court that there is overwhelming evidence against Afoku. He said before the death of the regional chairman, he mentioned Afoku as his attacker, and there is therefore no issue of mistaken identity. Mr. Amponsa also stated that forensic reports on some clothes belonging to the accused person, which indicates acid stains on his trousers, clearly establishes a connection between him and the incident. The prosecutor's submission was in response to claims by counsel for the accused person, Eko Ampakosa, that there has been undue delay in the trial process as his client has been in custody since May. He said it is uncertain when investigations will be concluded and therefore finds his continuous stay in custody an infringement on his human rights, adding that Afoku is innocent until proven guilty.
An explosion at a crowded market in the Nigeria's Borno state has killed at least 47 people. A military spokesman said 52 people were also injured. The blast struck Jebo Livestock Market in Sabongari town at about 1:30 p.m. It is not clear whether the explosion was caused by a suicide bomber or by a planted device. Suspected Boko Haram militants have killed hundreds in the state.
At least 26 people remain missing after a landslide in China's northwest Shanxi province. About 1 million cubic meters of mud buried dormitories and homes owned by the Shanxi Wuzhou Mining Company in Shangyang County early today. Officials said 14 people had been rescued. The operations had been greatly hampered by heavy rain. China has seen severe weather during the current monsoon season. Shangyang officials said the authorities were alerted to the landslide late last night. 15 dormitories and 3 residential buildings were buried, trapping at least 40 people initially. The local government said on its website that people in the area surrounding the landslide had been evacuated and that large machinery and rescue personnel had been brought in.
And now to the news and look at some of the stories that made the headlines. Unique FM will host President Mahama this morning in the Unique Breakfast Drive from 9 to 10:30 a.m. interactive session, which also will also be live on all Radio Ghana's regional FM stations and is part of activities to mark International Youth Day. 5 GBC staff are to be honored this Saturday at the 20th GJA Awards. They are Rebecca Epeni Ajay Kulu Abdulhai Mumin, Rebecca Wa, and Ayele Ayite. And striking doctors of the Ghana Medical Association will be holding a general assembly on Friday to decide on whether to resign en masse or not. The doctors at public health institutions have abandoned the wards and withdrawn from all emergency services over their conditions of service. A statement signed by leading members Dr. Kwabena Okokwadise and Dr. Frank Shrebo at the end of the 4th National Executive Council meeting of the Ghana Medical Association said the council is mindful of the various developments, including appeals by various groups in the country, and has therefore decided that an extraordinary general assembly be held to review the situation. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwatling
and Samuel Essa in Accra.